New Media, The Final Frontier. These are the broadcasts of The Tomorrow Show. Its mission? To befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro!
Yes, it's your captain, Kevin Undergaro. It's Labor Day.
6 o'clock already, I was just in the middle of a dream.
Lauren LeGrasso.
Yes,
Kev. Are you familiar with the Bangles, or did you just grab Manic Monday because it's a Monday?
I like this song. I can't take credit for it, though.
Oh, my
Christian.
God. Lauren.
I like this song,
Lauren,
though. I know this song.
Thank you, Christian, once again.
And, of course, Kevin, you know who wrote this song.
Edie Brickell, right? Oh, no.
Prince.
I did not know that.
The late, great artist, Prince.
Just another Manic Monday. Go, Lauren. Come on. Sing along.
I wish it was Sunday, 'cause that's my fun day.
Fun day before that even was a word.
I don't have to run.
Monday.
Type in Edie Brickell hits. Let's see what we get. Edie Brickell.
It kind of begins and ends with What I Am.
She had a lot of, it was funny, this was a time in the, I think it was the early 90s, or late 80s, it was Edie Brickell, it was Natalie from the 10,000 Maniacs.
Natalie Merchant.
Yes. No, I don't think this is it, this is new Edie Brickell. Yeah. Give me a hit.
What I Am is definitely the most recognized.
Yeah, What I Am, you'll know that one. Yeah, What I Am, that's the one. These are things that Lauren LeGrasso, just, you know, because your singing style, Lauren, it's right. Those late 60s folk singers. And then there were some females that came around, as I said, late 80s, early 90s. Edie Brickell, Natalie Merchant. I'm telling you, if you study their works.
I love this song.
Do you know this song, Lauren?
Yeah, I do. I like it.
Yeah, let's fuck it. Who cares?
No, I love it. Wait, can we listen to it and enjoy?
We can, Roxy Stryer, my little matzo ball. Happy Labor Day.
I'm Bernadette.
Nice job. From Zoom. Nice. From Zoom. Little callback to a test show.
By the way, she still wants to call in. I just want you to know
okay,
that.
Okay, we're waiting for when the team goes back to Boston.
Okay.
We bring her out then.
All right.
Ashley Grace Daniels.
Hi, how are you?
Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day. Oh, my God, it's fall.
Yeah, oh, that's
it. It's not
it.
True.
Summer's over.
Listen, it's almost fall, so it's fall.
Kelly Kanovich.
Yes,
happy Labor Day.
Do you still love me?
I mean, I do. We had a dispute over the music on the last show, but what about this?
I like it. Yes, it's my jam.
Are you being phony?
No. I'm actually, like, very happy.
Aww.
When were you born? 90 what?
One.
91. Sorry, a little old, a little long in the tooth, but we can get by that. Juliette, bonjour. Comment ça va, Juliette? Très bien. Et vous?
Très, très, très bien.
Ah.
One more très than you.
C'est bon. C'est excellent. Bonjour, Juliette.
Bonjour, happy Labor Day.
Bonjour, Juliette. How old are you?
I am 22.
22. So when were you born?
I was born August 12th, 1994.
94. We're creeping up.
Which I established with her is after I graduated high school, she was born.
So nice.
I felt great about that. Yeah.
Nice. Christian Blad, yeah. Our executive producer. Happy Labor Day, sir.
Happy Labor Day, Captain.
So, you guys, it depends what camp you're in. And I know it's a very divided camp. But if you are team Brock Turner, and I know there's many people out there that are team Brock Turner, you're happy because he was released on Friday from jail. Okay, so we're pulling in on his Twitter page, just checking in. I know I get a lot of criticism for promoting his Twitter. I can't help it, though. It's at Real Brock Turner, because I love the balls on this guy to have a Twitter. Okay, so what do we got? What's the latest, Rox? You speak Twitter.
Have to keep your head down and stay positive. Life is about chances, and I am truly blessed to have another hashtag second chance. Hashtag blessed.
Okay. All right. He got a like.
He did get a like.
Oh, and then Vendella said, I hope your victims and their families take justice into their own hands and end you. Oh.
Ouch.
So that would be the, I guess that would, Lauren, that would be the anti-Brock Turner contingency out there.
Definitely anti-Brock Turner.
Two very divided camps.
But yes. I like that response better than the people that hope that his family kill themselves. We like the family killing him.
Yeah.
Better.
It's a shame your victim can't say the same. Must be nice to have a judge in your pocket. Oh, when he said
Daddy.
New life, new beginnings. Hashtag.
Daddy's my favorite.
From Dick Sickle.
I have a prediction that this Twitter account is going to blow up in the next, 10 minutes.
Dick Sickle.
Okay. So for the real Brock, at real Brock Turner fans, we would like to say welcome back, Brock. To your new life, and to the anti-Brock fans, we will say he's out, but I think he's going to have a bit of a struggle. And Christian, we talked about there's definitely going to be a name change.
Yeah, he's going to definitely dye his hair, name change, probably relocate to a very unpopulated portion of the United States.
I'm thinking
Pacific Northwest, maybe. I don't know.
I'm thinking eye patch and goatee. Just go for it.
Yeah. Should we send him Ian's patch? Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we can send him Ian's eye patch. But remember, as we talked about, he's going to have to register.
Oh, yeah.
So he's...
So it has to be one of those states where you don't have to actually go door to door and introduce yourself to your neighbors and say, hello, I'm a registered sex offender.
Why, that's what they do?
There are some states where, yes, you do have to do that.
Bing bong! Yeah. So here I am, Kelly, at your door. Bing bong!
Oh, no, yeah... Oh God,
Miss Knezovich, excuse me, Mrs. Undergaro.
Oh, melts my heart.
I moved in. I live three doors down, and I have to tell you, I'm a registered sex offender.
And, oh God,
That's it. So just I brought you some cookies, and
if you want me to hashtag babysitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my response would be, oh, well, we don't have kids yet, but thank you for your interest.
What?
You said right. Babysitter.
And anytime you want to borrow a cup of Rohypnol, just
I mean, obviously, Ashley.
I got that. Yeah, that was funny, Kristen.
It's all right. It was just for you.
Oh boy,
I missed it.
I think God, the Brock Turner life's going to be a fail. I think it's going to take a long time.
I kind of half expected him to be announced on Dancing with the Stars this season.
No.
What? It's all about
seriously?
Rehab. No, not seriously.
Oh,
Kelly.
God. Ryan Lochte.
I do think.
That Wizard World shit, dude. Are you guys seeing this?
What? Oh, with Ryan Lochte?
Yeah, with Ryan Lochte.
He just got a deal, didn't he? What happened?
So Wizard World is bringing Ryan Lochte in, and usually the way it works at these conventions is if you go to Wizard World and they have somebody, you pay to take a picture with them, you pay to get their autograph, that's how they make their money, but they're doing it all for free. Like Ryan Lochte's appearance, you guys won't have to pay anything to see it, and they're hoping that bad publicity, people who think that he's crazy, will buy tickets to the convention just to go, and that's how they'll make their money. Which makes no sense, because Ryan Lochte has nothing to do with the world of nerds.
But look at the press they just got for him.
And John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard is going to be there, Kev.
Holla.
Should we jump on a plane?
Yes. Where is this?
It's in Virginia, I think.
Guys, can we get John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard to call it? I'd love to talk to him. I would.
It's in Richmond. I'd love to talk to him. Huh? We'll put the team on that, Kevin. And by that I mean not Jared.
You delegating now?
Jared at 32, second absentee.
Third straight, actually. Third straight absence.
Excuse me, we're changing the name to Jared the Delegator. Jared the Delegator is, yeah, he's out for another show. Excuse me, I'm going to cough again.
How can we make that one word? Jared Delegator. Jared Delegator.
Gator.
Gelidator.
Gelidator.
That's got to be it.
Gelidator? Is that what you said?
Gelidator.
Well, you can tell we're exhausted.
Alligator.
We can tell the, as I'm coughing, I don't know why, I think my drink's been poisoned. Kelly, did you poison my drink? You already want to get rid of me? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, now that she knows that Brock Turner's in the neighborhood, she might be looking for a new man.
Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
After I did the prenup. God damn, smart girl. Oh, I didn't think I'd get fooled. I'm excited for our guest tonight. This guy was a pitcher for NCAA pitcher from an Ivy Leaguer who became a doctor and then just quits it all to be a stand-up comic. Who does that?
I don't know. It's a bold. It could have ended up really stupid for him. So,
but
we gotta pick
his
brain.
He always had the
medicine
to go back to.
He had a great
medicine
fallback.
Man.
He had a great fallback. Well, I think without any further ado, right? Maybe we go to commercial. We get this man in here. Look at that.
One of the great soundtracks of all time.
And this is the song. Everyone thinks it's going to fly now. No.
Yeah.
You guys, we're back. The Tomorrow Show. I am here with the host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Iceman. Matt, so patient.
This song makes me think I could do American Ninja Warrior.
Right?
I need this music.
I mean, with that body, I think you could kind of. You do okay at it.
Too much mass. Yeah, I've taken a couple runs on the course. It hasn't ended well. It's either those who can do, those who can't host. I stick to those.
All right.
True.
Having a Bud Light. Nice to see you in the colors, wearing
this
the uniform.
Are you kidding?
Oh, my God.
When you're offered a Star Trek shirt, you take it.
Oh, God. We agree.
No, it's great that you're a fan, too. You're Next Generation, I understand.
Yeah, TNG. I actually got, coincidentally, I work at Hallmark doing Home and Family, and we just had Jamie on earlier.
Mark Steinis or no?
Steinis, yeah. Okay. Steinis and Debbie Matz. Debbie Matinopoulos. Right. And we had William Frakes on, who was Riker.
Riker.
And I just kept throwing out Next Generation references to him the entire time, talking about Guinan and Ten Forward and Iremotic Syndrome that nearly took home Captain
Picard. Did he know the show, though?
I think he knew enough to know I was throwing out lame references.
I mean, if you're talking about Ten Forward, he knows what you're talking about. He knows.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know, Rox.
Frank's directed, too, though. So I think he was probably at least somewhat, probably more conversant than just some of the actors might have been.
Well, Rox from the new generation where it's almost mandatory for actors to get so deeply immersed. But those guys were from the time period where they did the job, Adam West and Shatner, and they did the job and they went home, and then the fans come to them with like, what about episode 6, whatever, and it's like Shatner and them, I swear, have had to restudy. But we had Burt Ward in here and Adam West.
But you think about it, they didn't know. Star Trek was a failed show in a
That's
lot
right.
of regards initially.
That's right.
It's only it came into
it was it's to now later. With geekdom being what it is and social media that they're so deeply immersed. But anyway, who cares? You're a huge Rocky fan, too.
I love Rocky. I used to sit at home, and I would just watch the end of this movie. I could, like, enact the entire final fight.
Wow. Right?
Yeah, it's like, Mick, I can't see nothing. I got to cut my eye. Like, I used to do that when I would get
drunk.
Oh,
come on, cut me, Mick.
And, yeah. You know, that's a really great way to meet
women. See if you can find that. No, it's a fantastic way to meet women.
It is a fun. What's amazing, though, is when you watch
last round
movie,
of Rocky.
Oh, my God.
You watch that first fight, and the entire fight is probably only about 15 minutes.
That's
cut
right.
to Rocky IV, where, you know, the final fight is, I think, 40 minutes.
Rocky Balboa, 45 minutes, I believe. Yeah.
And then the latest one, Creed, even, where they were doing, like, they did fights in, like, a single shot, a single Steadicam shot. And you just see the difference where Rocky really was. The fight was
here we go.
Here's
the final.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, here's the final round.
These two look like they've been in a war. Stu Dahan. Oh,
yeah, you'd be great.
Oh, I love Wait, this movie.
Let's get some audio so we can hear.
I feel like you guys are going to be best friends.
Yeah, I know.
Here we go.
Oh, the champion really tired.
It was just the exchange, like at between the 14th and 15th round.
Right.
Burgess Meredith is Mickey.
I just saw this for the first time, Matt.
You're going to hear the champions now spitting up blood.
Yeah. And what's amazing, most people don't know, he lost. Rocky Balboa loses the fight.
I just saw this movie last week for the first time. I didn't know
Gazzo,
he lost.
Gazzo, go for it, Rock. Yeah. Go for it.
Go for it.
Someone had to tell me he lost.
What do you mean?
Well, because in my head, I thought he won.
What he says, the whole scene before this, the night before the fight, he realizes I'm not in his class. But if I could go the distance, I'd know I wasn't a bum.
Right.
My life meant something. And it's just this thing. That was it.
There's going to be no rematch.
There's going to be the war one.
The war one.
And now Adrian comes in.
These guys love
where's
the
your hat?
This is my favorite part.
Yeah, where's your hat?
Where's
that's
your
all
hat?
I want. It's so amazing, right?
I'm getting chills.
Go to 14. Let's go.
This is like watching The Notebook for you guys, all right?
Exactly.
It doesn't get any better than this.
What's 14?
Round 14. Let's see if they have that.
This part's so good, though.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then Rocky, too. Like when she's in the coma and she wakes up, I got one thing to say to you. Win. What are we waiting for?
Yeah. Oh my God, how great was Mick? Here's round 14. This was my favorite round. This is where he's really taking the beating of his life.
Gets knocked down.
Yes.
See, is keeping him up? I don't know.
I don't know. Here's 14. This is the second last round.
This is hilarious. I you
hilarious.
Guys.
Hilarious.
Look, no, you
sacrilege.
Two.
Sacrilege.
You two.
Here we go.
You know every line.
Down, stay down.
Right, he's about to.
Yeah.
Creed's got him.
And just the music, like the way it swells.
The great
here.
Bill Conti.
Oh.
Friggin' nails it.
Oh my God.
Here we go.
Can't
even get his gloves up to protect Ryan. He's defenseless. Defenseless. Boom.
Yeah. And this is a bad ref. He should have stopped the fight.
Should have definitely. Well, remember, it was the 70s. They let this go.
Stay down.
See, Mick loved him.
Yeah.
No. You did your job, Brock.
Yeah.
Out comes Adrian to see the mess. Okay, I want to show you guys. This is life. And this is where I know Matt's going to relate to this in Hollywood. And this is what you fucking millennials. This is the moment. Sam Roberts show, Sirius XM. This is my Sam Roberts show. Look at the face. Look at. Rocky gets up.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I'll fight. I'll fight.
And Adrian just can't even watch.
But no, here's the big moment. Carl Weathers. Watch.
The disbelief.
Watch this. Fuck.
Yeah.
See, Carl Weathers is like, fuck, I got to fight this motherfucker.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is life, guys. This is life. You got to look at life like this. Come on, bring it. And you just see the look of life's face will just go, shit. Here we go. Right to the ribs. Broke the ribs right there.
Yeah. Champion got a left to the ribs. His right ribs. You all right, Chip? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm hurt, though. I'm hurt. You bleed inside, Chip. I'm going to stop the fight.
That's Duke. I'm okay. There we go.
I can't see nothing. Got to open my eye. Come here, man.
Get out of what you're doing.
Wait, that's him picking up chicks right there.
This is what we do. Well, we'll go, no, we can do the whole end of this.
He's done all right with the chicks rocks, really. Come on.
It's just amazing.
But that moment of when I was telling Sam Roberts, he's a big host at SiriusXM.
Oh, no, I know primetime Sammy Roberts. Right? That's how I discovered you. You guys going on Sammy's show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
hey.
I'm a fan of Sammy.
He's amazing, and I'll say to him
Professional radio broadcaster.
But there's times where he's in that corner getting, beat up a lot because there's a lot of bigger names that have been there a lot longer. And I'm like, and he just keeps coming back, and they just have that look that Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed had, like, oh, fuck.
Right.
I thought I had this one. Anyway, I love that you love the show. Okay, so here's the thing that we have to talk about you. So host of American Ninja Warrior obviously is what you're now most famous for, but your story blows me away because this is an NCAA Division I starting pitcher from none other than Princeton, you go to school, but then if that's not enough, okay, fine, I get it. Princeton grad, you're an NCAA stud pitcher, and you get into show business, but no, you go to med school, and you go all the way. You graduate.
I went the distance.
Okay, parents writing the check for this
grandparents med school? Were helping.
Okay, not a scholarship, so
no.
Okay.
And it's not cheap.
All right. No. And so God bless Grammy and Grampy.
Yeah.
So what happens when you go, you know what, this whole med school thing, thanks a lot for this $100,000 or $200,000.
It wasn't a clear cut. I was doing residency, and I'm at University of Colorado. My dad's a professor there, world-renowned physician, and he couldn't be happier. His son's followed in his footsteps.
Wait, your dad is?
He's a doctor, yeah.
Okay, so why didn't he help with the grandparents help, but not him?
The grandparents had more money.
They had the stupid money.
He did.
No, they had some of that fuck money.
They were Nebraska farm folks, but they'd made enough money and saved well, and the education was really the only thing where they were like, this is what's always important, is go to school, get an education, and do whatever you want with it. And so I get the MD, and I'm doing internal medicine, and I was doing residency, and I wasn't happy. I wasn't passionate about it. And I just felt like, which I was like, okay, I felt like, it's not a job being a doctor. It's a calling, and people put their lives in your hands, and to feel like you're not doing all you can for the patients. It's just, I had a sense of dis-ease where I just felt like I didn't feel good. I didn't feel good that I was giving them everything that I could. And so it was an awful position where you just feel this guilt of I'm doing something that is a privilege and that is a great honor to get to have people's health in your hands. And I just didn't feel I was doing as good a job. So I felt bad. I felt I wasn't passionate. So I decided to take some time off to kind of reevaluate and maybe switch from internal medicine to emergency medicine, thinking maybe it was the focus, just kind of the actual area of medicine I was in that might change my heart about it. And I decided I wanted to take time off, and I'd never done anything creative in my life. I'd always been kind of, sports and school. And so I thought, I'd done stand-up a couple times in med school, and I thought, I'm just going to take a year, go out to L.A., do stand-up.
So during med school, would you just take a break and go to the...
I went to med school in New York, so I'd go to open mics with... I actually had a friend who was doing it. He dragged me along, and I did open mics a couple times. And I thought, you know what, instead of a ski bum year or whatever traveling, I'm going to go to L.A., do stand-up for a year, clear my mind, and see if I, just reevaluate, kind of take a step back and see where I am in life. Because you kind of, not that I was, my dad never pressured me to go into medicine. I think it was more just I respected him. And I thought, on paper, it was the perfect thing. I was great at science. I liked the idea of helping people. It was a perfect job on paper. But, you kind of realize that it can be different when you get into it. And so I just wanted to kind of take some time and clear my mind and see where I stood in life, and I started doing stand-up, and I moved out here. And
in med school, you did the stand-up too.
Yeah, I did like four or five times in med school, and then when I was doing residency in Colorado, I did it a couple times.
You just something for fun, pass
just
the time.
Think, yeah, you might go do karaoke one night, and you're like, oh, I'll go do stand-up comedy.
Did you write your
bit? Yeah, wrote stuff out and really enjoyed writing it, and I always liked being the center of attention guy. I always thought I was funny, but never considered entertainment as a career. And so just thought I'd move out here. And even when I came out, I kind of thought, I'll do this for a year or two, kind of get it out of my system, and then I'll feel better about medicine and
go back to
and go back.
Okay.
I thought I'll come back. And literally within, probably a month or so, I was just like, I'm never going back. I just felt like when I was on stage and, I'm going to awful open mics out here.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of comics.
Like three people out
just
there.
Just awful shows.
I know.
And yet I was elated. I just felt like this, I came alive.
You were home.
I loved, yeah.
Were you taking class or you just were showing up?
I ended up doing like acting class, sketch class, all this stuff. But it was just open mics, going to open mics, waiting for 2 hours and getting up at the end of the night in front of three other people.
Wow.
Who don't want to listen to your stuff.
Okay, so any other people that you came up with that have broken out like you?
So early on, I'm good buds with Dwayne Perkins, who's had a couple Netflix specials, who's doing well. Aisha Tyler,
oh, yeah.
She's probably done the best of the comics.
She was at Soho last night.
Yeah,
really?
She's great. guys like Sam Tripoli, I've known a lot of guys, like my good crew. Everyone's done well. Aisha's been the biggest breakout star. But, and it's just kind of talking about entertainment. And Rocky Balboa, the metaphor of in this business, the thing I've noticed is it's an incredibly subjective business. And yet the people who I felt were the most talented are working. If they've stayed, a lot of people left. A lot of people who were more talented, who were funnier.
Roxy, you got a what?
Hang in.
You got to hang in.
They just don't have the endurance, the stamina to put up with. This is a business of no. And a lot of people don't want to hear no 99% of the time. And I think, I think the advantage I have coming from medicine was that I'd achieved, like, having my MD was, I was really proud of that. And I felt like I had an identity. I had something that I'd achieved. So when I came out here, if I got told no, I felt like that's okay. I can always go back to medicine. I still felt like I wasn't defined by the success of my latest audition. And I look at people, I think, who come out here who maybe haven't had as much life experience or something. I think it can be a lot harder to handle the rejection. I think that's one of the things you have to do in this business is handle rejection, handle failure, handle having your break happen and then being told you're terrible or getting replaced. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to everybody. And it's how you handle it. And it's the fact of, you know, being able to stay in this and to just, you know, wait for, I'm not saying waiting for your turn, but you'll get an opportunity and just making sure you're ready for it and that you stick around long enough to get it. Because you've been in this a long time too. And mm-hmm. You see people break out after 10 or 15 years. They're a 15-year overnight success.
You'll get something.
Yeah.
You know, and it may not be exactly what you wanted, but usually it's even something better, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it is.
And the best thing is just getting to do the job, like getting to do this.
That's a reward.
And, you know, most people aren't making $20 million a year. Most people are making enough to
And especially
to
now,
have an apartment.
Even less.
Yeah. It's so fragmented.
Yes.
And the compensation's going way down. The barriers to entry are getting lower, but compensation's going down. So I think more people are making a living than ever before, but you don't have as many people making the life-changing money.
No.
And but it's still an awesome job.
Well, you have another one that says you have such a great spirit. You know,
yeah.
And I think because I think a lot of kids that would come out of the Ivy League schools, I think although it's successful people go there, I feel like a lot of them might not have the stomach for this because they're so used to succeeding. I always say, you know, in the real world, A plus B equals C. So the kids from Princeton will study hard and they'll get an A. Okay, that's how it should go, correct?
Yeah.
In this business, doesn't work that way, right? Mm-hmm. And so I see a lot of guys like you, unfortunately, I've seen their heads explode.
Yeah.
Guys and girls, because it's they've always gotten A's, they've always overachieved, and then they all of a sudden get into this mess, bless you. They all of a sudden get into this business where I always say the laws of gravity here do not apply.
And to have to listen to someone else's opinion, where they're like, where you think this is amazing, and someone goes, we don't like it, we want this.
And it's all subjective.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy, is it's so subjective. And I think to be able to subjugate your ego at times and to say, okay, I'll do this for the job, you know, and I'll pick my battles.
So much of it really is your ego.
Yeah.
I think it's really being able to take it. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people hang on to too many cliches of the people that that did fight with, fight for what they wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear stories of people who took those creative
steps.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to sell this. I'm going to be a star.
Right. And I feel like with that, it's a great story. And he's someone I just hope to meet one day. He's my idol. But at the same time, I feel like so many people have hung on to that in the wrong way. Because there is a time to go, you know what? Okay, I'll listen to you. You know, put your ego aside.
And I also look at it too. I you know, it's a marathon. And like I talked to a friend of mine and we was just like, you know, some people will try to eke every last cent out of a deal or put a knife in someone. And it's like, I always think, hey, I don't want to do just this deal. I don't want this job to be here. I want this to be the job after it and the one after that as well. Because everything's going to end.
It is.
And figuring out, you know, you want people to want to work with you again. And I think have a good experience.
God damn, this is a smart guy. And so you do produce a little, but you should be producing more.
Yeah. So I did. Especially when I did a home makeover show and I got into.
Was that the cleaning show or no?
Clean House, the home makeover one for Style.
Are you as obsessed with
Niecy Nash
cleaning things? Or
so I was always pretty fastidious. I like being organized.
Because you're sitting at, well, actually, I shouldn't say that. These two are actually very clean. Two of the people in this room are very clean. Right. One of them. And then the rest of the place is not.
I wonder who you're talking about.
And the millennials, I feel like we're a very filthy group of people, and we're only getting filthier. But when I was so impressed with that show, are you also kind of a neat person?
I'm very, I like things organized, and I tend to kind of clean as I go. The thing that it made me realize, I'm a very nostalgic guy. Like, I have every ticket stub. So I have every ticket stub of every movie I've gone to since eighth grade.
Yes.
Recently, now they've gone digital.
No, I love that.
My kind of guy.
So I love that old stuff.
I love.
But I go on, when I was on this home makeover show, you go in and our thing was dealing with clutter. You talk to people about why they have things. And you're like, come on, you've got every baseball hat. And I'm like, Jesus, I've got every. I, you know, at one point I had like 92 baseball hats and I like would hold on to.
Do you have them on display?
So in my closet, like on top of like a walk-in closet.
Well, do you enjoy seeing them?
I do, but I ended up getting the collection down. Some that I'd never worn. I'm like, why do I have an old Houston Astros hat? I like Nolan Ryan, but
like you have to practice what you preach.
It honestly was one of those things where you're looking in the mirror going, if I'm not careful, I am. You realize the older you get, the easier it is to just start accruing stuff. And there really is a sense of once you get rid of something, you feel bad for like 5 minutes, and then you're like, wait, I don't even remember
you,
that
you
thing.
Could end up being exactly. A cat lady
it's
if
just,
you're not
I'm careful. Really, I'm going much more towards simplification and just trying to find the key.
Roxy will pop popcorn in the microwave. Items. She'll have half the bag, and then this is the first. She puts it in the fridge for later. It just goes into the fridge. That's how
but she's a germaphobe. That's the crazy thing.
No, but that's
thing.
Why it's a scam. That old germaphobe thing. Right. That's part of their culture, and that's fucking bullshit. Because,
Kevin, how did you know that I did that?
Because I knew it was you. She drives a dumpster on wheels.
Wait, no, I did not.
It says U.S. Vining Disposal on the side.
I feel like this just turned into an intervention.
So I want to know why I put it in there? Because I first melt chocolate on it, and then I like to put it in the fridge, and then it attaches the chocolate
and then
to
the gnomes miraculously come and take it away when the ants come.
Right. And then the gnomes come, right. But and they've always come for me. All the gnomes.
I think it gets in the way. It's hard. It makes it harder to succeed.
Yeah.
I think with those personal items, I'm fine with it as long as they have a practical use. So if you're if all those ticket stubs are on display,
a nice art.
Then it's art. But when you're packaging stuff and constantly putting stuff, stuffing them in closets or stuffing them in attics, and you know. You never, unless it's something, okay, it's something I want my grandchildren to have, my children to have. Well, but it's different.
And it's also how you live your life, too. I think when you're in entertainment, people don't understand that we have so much free time relative to, like when I was doing medicine or people who have a 9-to-5 job, where it can be such a fluid schedule. Not to say we don't have things to do.
I have to learn that. Can you talk about that free time?
No. But I mean, like,
I don't have a lot of that.
But I think that you.
But it's my choice.
You can be efficient. No. I think that, like, for me, we don't shoot that often, so there's a lot of downtime. But I think there's time when you have to be tending to your career, working on the next gig, finding the next thing, producing, lining it up, whatever it is. And if your life isn't tidy, I think that's when you create these distractions.
Oh, they're laughing because look at
poor Bonjour Juliet.
Bonjour Juliet.
She's got her legs in her.
So yeah, Juliet's climbing up top. We got a nice
view.
She's checking for the Delithium crystals.
Bonjour.
Giving her off to Scott Kipton.
What a nice view. It's a nice way to spend a Thursday night, right?
This is a hell of a Thursday.
Welcome to a celebrity boyfriend's midlife
crisis.
You're talking
about putting things up on display.
Yeah.
She's showing
at the
me
very
something.
Time that she's got her like underwear on display.
Juliet, don't be afraid to go up again. And look, and I'm not maybe sure. Even turn around.
I'm not sure what I saw, but I hope that was a tribble. Otherwise,
she's looking for the tribbles. I could create a hatch right above your head and have tribbles hit you in the head. See, these guys would know. Bring up.
Although, from what I understand, there are no tribbles in this generation. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Wait a second. Bring up Lauren. Bring up trouble with tribbles. Kirk dealing with tribbles.
I kill myself.
And let's see what we find.
You kill me too.
By the way, Matt, did you see in the green room we had Quadratita Kaylee laid out for you?
Oh,
nice.
Really?
Nice.
That was for you, Kat.
How did you know that? I didn't think you were that big of an original series.
You think I didn't know the grain from Trouble with Tribbles? We'll have to talk sometime after that.
But, okay, I think I'm going to assign this to these guys to watch. I think you guys all need to see Trouble with Tribbles. Do they have, Lauren, do they have, can we get a YouTube clip?
Sure.
Let's go, yeah. Put in Trouble with Tribbles and say it should be Kirk because it was – I think we need – and Shatner writes about in his book where they were actually throwing them.
Yeah. The there were some grips who were like
just whacking
winding
them.
Up. Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, George Takei might have been in there throwing a few at
his head.
Oh, my.
You guys, I don't know why you guys weren't best friends a long time ago.
I even have his boots.
This is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I have the same boots as him. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so see this? So here's the Tribbles. There's Shatner. Oh, he's got the tunic.
He's wearing what you're wearing, Kev.
He's wearing the tunic.
You guys are twinsies.
By the way, I wore a special for you guys tonight.
That is nice.
For you guys, because of the guests tonight. I really love your stories. And the great soundtrack.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're pouring them all on Shatner. And there's a couple that hit him in the...
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, no, after the commercial break.
Christian knows his stuff.
Okay, so here comes Big Bill.
What?
Is this like their version of Furbies?
I was just thinking
This is a lighter episode, but it was fantastic.
Yeah.
The Tribbles just kept... these are living creatures.
Oh, they're alive?
They're alive.
And they keep repopulating.
They seem to be gorged.
Gorged.
On my grain?
Like a gremlin?
Yeah, similar. See, they're hitting him in the head. I don't know if you saw in that other show. See, you could see his face.
Yeah.
Did you see Shatner's
face? Yeah, he smiled a little. He knows. Like,
okay,
come
I know
on.
You guys are fucking with me.
561. That's assuming one tribble multiplying with an average litter of 10, producing a new generation every 12 hours over a period of 3 days.
Yeah, that's assuming that they got here 3 days ago.
And allowing for the amount of grain consumed and the volume of the storage.
So, yeah, they're populating and they're eating the grain.
You should have known. You are responsible for turning the development project into a total...
Yeah, look at the whack off the head.
Somebody's getting fired.
You insulted me. You have ignored me. You've walked all over me. You have abused your authority, and you have rejected my requests. And this is a result.
Ash, would you screw him?
I am going to hold
Who,
you...
Who, Shatner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll hold you...
I mean, not now.
No, I know, but...
Oh, okay.
I would now.
I would now, too. Yeah, fuck that. Still Shatner.
Yeah, still
Shatner. He's got another hit show.
Maria
yeah, I know. Ever. Now, Matt, you see him all the time at NBC Press. Oh, you guys are the same. Do you ever talk to him?
I've only talked to him one time.
You did? Okay.
Not recently, no.
Okay.
I didn't. We haven't crossed back. I saw Bradshaw and Jeff Dye.
Okay.
And Winkler,
the same day.
The Fonz.
He's amazing, right? Henry's a great guy.
He did the voiceover for your movie.
He did. He voiced my movie. He's the best guy.
I met him on an airplane once.
You met him on the airplane?
Henry Winkler. I never told you that. I thought he was Phil Levoff, my old basketball coach, and I went up to him and was like, Phil! Phil Levoff!
Oh, you told me that.
Oh, my God.
And he was
you guys
like,
still have
no.
me on mic, by the way. I've had a malfunction.
What do you mean? You can't hear you? Whatever. I went up.
Wow, that's crazy that you...
It was really embarrassing. I went after him for like 5 minutes. I was like, you know me. I'm Roxy. You used to coach me, NGBA. Like, you remember what I'm talking about? And he was like, I think you have me mistaken for somebody else. And I was like, Phil Levoff, Massachusetts.
And meanwhile, you're like, no, I know who
I'm
you
like,
are.
I'm like, I know exactly who you are. And finally, we get on the plane. I'm like literally fucking harassing this guy. And he looked at me and he was like, I'm the Fonz.
He said,
Fonz.
I'm the Fonz.
That's how you know
he didn't
me.
Say Henry.
He said, I am the Fonz. That's how you know me. My name is Henry Winkler.
Oh,
and
my
I was like,
God.
I am so
Wait,
sorry.
The Fonz was my gym teacher?
like essentially what I was getting after. But no joke.
I like that you're angrily telling him he doesn't know who
he is. I attacked him for like 30 minutes. I was like, I don't understand why you'd be lying about something like this. Like, we spent a lot of time together. Like, you remember me.
Well,
it was
more
really
importantly, what is Phil Levoff doing? Have you looked him up?
Like, I should tell Phil Levoff that he has a twin out there and it's the Fonz. Yeah, he's still coaching basketball. It would have been really strange to see him on the plane. I wish.
Hey,
I
Roxy,
wish.
Could Phil Levoff turn on a jukebox just by hitting it by any chance?
No, I don't believe so.
That would have made
how amazing is it that Henry Winkler created the epitome of cool like this?
I hear you.
I'm back.
You're
back.
You've been here the whole time.
I think you were here.
You
the
never
whole
were
time.
Gone.
I love the story.
Yeah, it's crazy that he is like Mr. Cool.
The epitome of coolness.
And also the creator of cool nicknames. Like, that's the coolest nickname of all time.
The Fonz.
Yeah, the Fonz. Yeah. Like, that's amazing. We were just talking about people who have one name. You know who it is? Fonz. Like, that's
Fonz.
So cool. Cooler than Madonna.
That was Gary Marshall and Pinky Tuscadero.
Yeah.
Which was.
Who smelled and did not get along with the Fonz. And everyone.
Why did you say he smelled?
She did. Well, according to Henry Winkler, she was.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Gary Marshall.
No, he was amazing. No. She was. She didn't fit in on the show. Crazy. And still crazy. But yeah, and he's the nicest guy, but he was. That's the only one he's just not afraid to say it. He's just like, no.
It's amazing. Shatner and Winkler, they've had careers like five, six decades?
I feel like with those guys, they stayed the course, right? They could have packed it up and said, okay, I'm stereotyped, I'm out. Stayed the course, and I still feel that although they were early in their careers, even Bob Denver, Gilligan's Island, they were all much maligned, but
they were so gifted because only they could bring such incredible life to those characters.
Yeah.
That no one else could do it. And we've even, when Burt Ward was here, we played tape of other people who, Lyle Wagner, who played Batman in the test screenings, and it was just flat. It just wasn't the same.
Right.
That's how gifted they are.
I do like that. I was watching Robert Downey Jr.'s screen test for Iron Man, and you're just like, oh, yeah.
I get it.
That's how you got that.
I get it.
Yeah,
you're just
you saw it on YouTube.
You're the guy. Yeah, it was on YouTube.
They have all those auditions now.
Downey, because he'd gone away, and then he had like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I think brought him back, but Iron Man, and then Sherlock Holmes, and you just see like some people they just light it up on screen.
It's interesting, huh? Seeing their auditions.
I mean, with you.
Oh yeah.
So, Ninja Warrior, an amazing show, and an amazing journey. It was not a network show to begin with.
A network that no longer exists. I mean, it started as a Japanese show. They were dubbing it into English, airing it on G4. It was their number one show. So they decided to create an English version, or American, I guess. And I didn't come on until season two. And, it was...
Was there Brian Dunkelman who walked out?
No, it was... they had... G4 Talent was hosting, Blair Herter and Allison Haslam, who were great. I think they just looked to expand it and... I was doing Sports Soup at that point, the Joel McHale, the Soup.
Oh, yeah, that's not Blair Herter, not a good guy.
Good guy.
But not a host of America.
And I think they were looking for someone to, because I think they were looking to give it a little more sports vibe to it.
Yeah.
But it started out 10 episodes on G4, and now we're doing, 39 hours of primetime programming on NBC, and we've got the spinoff show back on Esquire, which G4 became.
Team Ninja. The budget's increased, right?
Budget's increased, thank God. Yes.
Right. So,
why do you say thank God?
Because I was getting paid like a cable show.
But do you feel like it's really helped the quality of the show as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It got the production company that does it, A. Smith, really did a good job initially.
Smith.
Arthur Smith. Yeah. Who just started out doing the Olympics for Canada. So he really gets sports. He gets the, and it's the Olympic model with Ninja Warrior. You tell the backstory of the athlete. You give people a reason. Because if you watch it, it's 2 hours of the same course. You wouldn't care if you didn't care about the competitors.
I care so much.
And they do a phenomenal job.
We watch it as a family.
So that's
one
of the things that's really, I think, improved about the show the most is the backstories. We've gotten, every year they get better and better about kind of how they tell them. And the guys who came in, they all have strong documentary backgrounds. And just figure out how to really, in a short period of time, get people to care about these athletes.
It's so interesting because you always say that when you're hiring a production company for a reality show, you should get people with documentary backgrounds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Because they're great storytellers.
Yeah. Right.
Rather than when you don't do that, and I want to share this with you because you have a producing future in you. I know. And I feel it. You want to pair yourself with great storytellers. With Mark Burnett, who's the greatest of all time, he will say, I'm a filmmaker. And when I was younger, hearing that, I go, no, Tarantino's a filmmaker. And as I got to see his work and got to know him, no, he truly is. He's a storyteller. And then when you get the other people who just want to cook shit, and you see the difference.
Yeah.
And that's Arthur.
To me, reality TV still gets such short shrift, I think, in
I agree.
Acknowledgement of art and the Television Academy. We got nominated. This is our first year.
But
I think there are like five or six reality categories, and it's I think it's over half of the program is docuseries, reality shows are reality
yeah
TV.
Even people when we talk about golden age of television, I think it includes the reality stuff, because I'm sorry, that stuff just sucks.
Yeah.
Anything that can suck you in like that,
well, it's just like scripted. There's good reality and bad reality.
Exactly.
Just like scripted.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, your dynamic with Akbar and with Christine is just, you guys, it seems like you guys have known each other for such a long time.
It's fun, and I think that's one of the cool things is, it's nice when you get a show that's in your wheelhouse. I'm a naturally enthusiastic guy, and I'm a positive guy, and this is a good show. We don't have to pretend to be to not have a bias. We're pulling for everyone. You get to know their backstories, and really we're just, it's an easy job in the sense that all we have to do is we're giving voice to probably the same things people at home are saying, and just cheering for these people and talking about what they're doing.
Where do you guys tape?
So we'll tape on location in city. So we did in LA this year. We were at Universal Studios. We'll do one in LA, and then we'll travel around. So we taped at Turner Field outside Atlanta. We were in Philadelphia. So we'll go on location in cities. We'll do back-to-back nights. So the first night we do qualifying, where we'll run about 120 people through from like 9 at night till 6 in the morning. And wow. Then the next night we'll do the city finals, which is 30 runs. And we'll do two in each city. And then we go to Vegas, where we'll do 5 nights of tape.
Are you a good boy when you go to Vegas?
I have no choice because we tape in June, so it's 115 degrees during the day, and we'll start at 8:30 a night and go till sunrise 5 nights in a row.
But you can have the high-end prostitute waiting for you back at your room.
I would be shooting dust. I get so dehydrated. I go get IVs. I go to Heaven.
I believe that, actually.
I get IVs. I get anti-inflammatories just to be able to – because, you know, again, it's very – wow, unbelievable. You're yelling the whole
and
time.
And you're standing.
And standing. It,
right.
So it's just, you know, and it won't drop below 100 degrees till 5 in the morning. And so I'm just exhausted.
It's cool because when you look at the host of Survivor, the host of Bachelor, like, I think you're onto something here.
It's, you know? I assume every season is going to be the last season.
No.
I don't think it's going to be.
It's not going anywhere.
No way, yeah. Right, Ashley?
Hell no.
You know what's the best part is, so we did a sneak preview of the finale last week at Universal. And we did it at Clock Tower Square, the Back to the Future area. And it was just families and kids everywhere who are obsessed with it. And the great news is, you know, this is the one show that families can watch together, that you know, a dad will enjoy, a mom will enjoy, a son or daughter will enjoy. But the kids, I think, you know, will hopefully be the driving force to keep the show
talking
on the air.
Yeah. No, because you've got a fan, Maria Menounos, who's in the booth waving at me and she's talking in code.
Why isn't she on the course?
Because he won't let her. Oh. By the way, just so you know,
honey,
even though you're an NBC show.
What, honey? Don't say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have contractual obligations.
Okay.
I'm just laughing because I just walked in. I'm like, wait, what's happening? I was just watching him on TV in my kitchen. And then
I think they tape things.
Honey, it's so funny. I had no idea he was in studio, and I just walked in, and I'm like having this surreal.
By the
moment.
Way, your father, is he up or no? Is your dad is obsessed with this
I
show?
I just put them to bed.
All right, we're going through a tough. Look, we're going through a rough time health wise.
Oh yeah.
With Maria's mom, but. We watch as a family, the four
of
us.
Oh, that's great.
And we pick our favorite characters and we cheer them on.
Literally, we're all just watching inside as a family.
That's so funny.
That's crazy.
I love it.
Wow.
It's great. So it really funny. Is. It's amazing. It's we kind of stumbled into the formula and it's been amazing that it's gone as well as it has. It's really nice being, you know, I've been out here a long time and it's nice to be a part of a show that people know and people generally have a positive opinion about. And it's,
yeah, it's you know great. What? There's not, you know, it's not like the other shows I mentioned. There's no darkness involved.
Yeah.
And even Gladiators back in the day, it always had an edge where it was against the contestants, you know,
yeah.
they would trip them. And, you know, that's why I couldn't watch the show because I felt they were just a bunch of bullies. Whereas this show, it's just, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
You know, here's the obstacles. And
it's,
you know,
it's been amazing, too, seeing, like, the stories. We just, you know, when Jamie was talking about her story, and she was just, you're saying, like, you look at someone and you wouldn't know the struggles they've gone
right.
through. And it's amazing when you see a lot of these competitors come on, and you realize these are your neighbors. These are everyday people who are struggling with, you know, we had a guy, Michael Stanger, whose wife is Ehlers-Danlos. Like, she's confined to a wheelchair, and now they just found out both their daughters have this.
Ugh.
And they're just fighting for this cure. And this is like, but this is the moment when they come out and they get their, like, they get to forget about it and smile. And it's
right.
like, it's amazing. I think especially as society is getting more and more cynical. And I think the social media tends to be an area where snark rules a lot.
Yeah.
To have a show that's pretty unabashedly positive it's kind of refreshing, I think, for people to see that.
Were you there, because there are some also crazy moments, like the heartfelt ones, but were you there when the guy ran naked through
that
the course?
That was me. People don't recognize me. I was in really good shape.
No. You have that, Lauren?
Yeah, that's me. I'm the one talking. I'm going.
Yeah, that was you, right?
Yeah.
So, and you're saying, holy crap, yeah.
Well, he was one of our stunt guys.
Okay.
Oh.
That was
you knew that was going to happen.
So they're like, yeah, we're going to do this. Because they were looking, they were just, this was before we had Casey Catanzaro was the little girl who went through the course, the 5 foot tall person who was our big viral video. And so they were trying to come up with a way to promote the show. It's amazing. Because you know, you'll always be like, hey, let's create a viral video. And you're like, you can't create a viral video.
Look at this. Look at this man.
And this one worked.
Oh, yeah.
One of our stunt guys. And so we're just up there. Like,
whoa, and he's badass, too. Yeah. Let him go.
So he's actually a tester. He's one of the guys who'd like put the course together. So
no way.
Yeah.
So he's completely naked, right?
No, he was wearing underwear.
Oh, okay.
I feel awful doing this. Yeah, pulling the curtain back, but I don't want to lie to you guys.
But he's kick-ass.
Yeah. He was great.
Have there been any moments that are crazy like this where you weren't expecting it, where somebody just like does something...
We haven't had, I mean, like just performances, I think, because, you know, honestly, the course, because we're shooting and because the course is such a liability, I don't think we've ever had anyone just run on in the middle of it. Also because everyone who gets in has to be kind of approved as an audience member because of on camera. Mm-hmm. So they've all signed away liability. We have everyone's identity. Craziest thing. I mean, we did another one. Actually, the coolest one we did this year at Universal, we had a guy come out as Harry Potter. And he was wearing the robes, and he did unbelievably well. And I'm a Harry Potter nerd, so I was throwing out all these Harry Potter references, and then Universal said we couldn't use it.
Have you ever tried it?
Yeah, there's video. One time I did okay. I've done like an obstacle and a half, and then another time. So we did we were just in Vegas at the end of Vegas.
Is it up there on YouTube? Can we find it?
Yeah, Matt Eisman live. I think I just put my latest video. It's me on a trampoline, and we have these like they're called aggressive carrier trampolines or something. These are like super acrobatic ones that launch you. And so I was going to try. I did the year before. I did a flip, and it was pretty sweet. I like flipped into the water at the end of the season. I was like, that was awesome. And so I tried it again, and it didn't work as well.
Okay, Maria's mom's dying to meet you.
Lisa.
Can we put Lisa on the couch with him and Juliet and set Lisa up with a headset? Lisa, sit down. Or Phil's going to do it.
Here, I've warmed this up. Come on.
He doesn't have any contract on Lisa.
No, not yet. Although the show I sold today means they're probably going to, but. Lisa, Yasu.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you, honey?
Hi,
can we get her some sound,
Phil? I think they just
got it for her.
No, I'm all set. Thank you.
Okay, so we were saying how we love the show. We watch
with
Costa.
Oh, I love the show for I don't know how many years we're watching it.
Right?
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Lisa, yeah.
Well, if you want to do some stuff, we can announce it right here. If you want to compete, we'll create a course.
I'm not at this point.
Okay.
Lisa's in a competition right now, a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a big battle on our hands, but we're going to win it. So, yes. Health-wise.
You're good.
Lisa, we're... This is an interesting guy. You know, he was a doctor.
Really?
He was interning, and he decided, okay, I just want to go to Hollywood. Could you imagine?
Does point out technically, I'm still a doctor.
Yeah.
You're still a doctor.
Still a doctor.
Once a doctor, always a doctor, right?
He's proud of that.
Yeah,
that's
he
it.
Is.
I mean, Lisa, you thought you had it bad with Maria, saying, okay, I'm gonna just leave my school and go. Go to Hollywood, but now imagine this.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine going all the way and becoming a doctor.
You know, my parents said, though, that no education's ever wasted. That whatever you learn, however, you know, it teaches you how
That's
to
right.
learn. And so, I mean, my medical
education. You keep it in the shelf and you use it when you need it.
Yeah. But I think it also, I think the experience of the schooling changes you too.
Yeah.
So it's a good.
Did that ever come into play for American Ninja Warrior being a doctor?
We did. We had a guy separate his shoulder.
No.
And everyone's looking at me. And it had been like 9
Dr. Iceman.
Put a shoulder back in. And so I was like, and we had another competitor who was an active ER physician. And so he went on. I'm like, you got this one. I'll get the next one. This is you. You handle this.
Were you nervous?
Yes. Because... I know enough at this point just to be dangerous and like to put a joint back in and be like, no.
I wanted to offer you the position of Tomorrow Show Medical Contributor.
Oh, yeah. We can add the word fake because
I add the word fake to everything. It makes it
a TV doctor.
Yeah. I do.
Wait, you were on General Hospital, right?
I was.
So what did
was
you play
a doctor? No, I was a date rapist.
Oh, excuse me.
All right. Well, you know.
What year was that?
That was 2002.
I was watching that.
I used to watch
Courtney,
it then.
Courtney.
The brunette girl that's gorgeous,
so
that's Sam.
I kidnapped and tried to date rape Carly Corinth.
Pull up Matt Eisman, General Hospital Lord.
Someone else took her from me.
Oh, you tried to Carly? Oh, she's
I drug bad. On Valentine's Day of 2002. I'm drugging Carly Corinthos's drink.
Wow.
And I'm like, turnabout is fair play.
No, it's nothing. Huh? Maybe yeah, maybe do it on was... images.
What are you looking? Oh.
We're trying to find
General Hospital.
I used to
the
watch
only
that.
Photos would be website photos I posted.
Oh, you have them on your website?
Well, I was, because I got into a fight and I had to get beat up by a guy who was like 5'8". And so we had to do the forced perspective. So I had to stand, he had to stand like 3 feet closer to the camera and I had to stand behind him as we were talking trash to each other and then he killed me.
So Dr. Eisman leads us here. And we, you know, we talked to Lisa, we talked about it on the air because, you know, Lisa, do you know the Globe and the Herald printed that you're battling illness right now?
I saw something else in Athens in a magazine.
Saying, yeah.
Yeah, somebody sent it to me. I didn't know about Boston Globe.
We found out a few days ago Lisa has a brain tumor. We got her on a plane immediately. And Roxy actually is the one who recommended the Dr. Black.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Because my mom also had a brain tumor and we knew that Dr. Black is the best. The best.
Dr.
Eisman,
I feel great with him.
Everyone, people at home want to know, Lisa, how are you feeling? I know you're feeling well, but I want to hear.
I'm feeling great. I feel very comfortable. Whoever I saw, it's just an amazing experience that made me feel like I don't have anything. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I don't see any difference other than you're just a little tired. I don't see...
Just tired. That's all. That's what I experienced for the past 2 months, actually.
Okay, Maria. You know, your daughter, like, she put you out here, and then she, like, in the middle of the interview, and then she said, put on a mic and say, now she gave me the wave off. Okay, I'm sleeping, sleeping in the office
this
tonight.
This is real
Dr.
life.
Dr. Eisman, please weigh in.
This is real life. These are the issues that come up, and it's so unexpected. I had cancer. I had renal cell.
That's right.
I had a tumor on my kidney, and it was found only because I have rheumatoid arthritis, another chronic illness, and they found it coincidentally because they were checking my chest for something and found a tumor on my kidney that was malignant, and so they cut it out. And it was just one of those random real-life experiences where, for me, I found out I had cancer and that it was taken out in the same breath. You have cancer, it's malignant, and it's out, and now...
How often do you check?
So it'll be 10 years next year I'll be cured, but I, at this point I get a CAT scan every year just to check. Mine, they caught, and so...
What is it? You're in remission for 5 years, and then after that?
So mine's 10.
10,
So it'd be 10 years I'd be in remission, and then at 10 years they'd say I cured if it hasn't.
Rheumatoid arthritis is still...
So rheumatoid arthritis is I'll always have. There's no cure for that at this point. But that one, I'm on medications. And so, but that was... I was diagnosed in 2002, and that was like a year and a half onset where my... It took a year and a half to diagnose it. I'm a doctor. My dad's a doctor. My friends are doctors. I have insurance. And it took a year and a half for them to figure out. And during that time, my body fell apart. I gained like 55 pounds. Mm-hmm. I was unable to work out. My hands and feet were swollen. And then I got diagnosed. And we found out what I was fighting against and what had been causing it. And I've been...
Have you ever heard the theory about rheumatoid arthritis that, you know, you're certain people that are... they're just fighting so many external factors in life. And then eventually, even when there's nothing to fight, the body's so used to fighting that it starts attacking itself.
So, but with autoimmune, I think there's so much that's not understood. For us, my brother has a variant psoriasis, which is like another autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. So for us, it looks like we're a kind of a case study family because clearly there's some genetic predisposition for this type of autoimmune syndrome. So for us, it looks like there is definitely a genetic marker. And I think for other people, though, it is unclear. You just don't know. You don't know what can trigger these things, of the autoimmune things. And the body, it's amazing. That was one of the things with medicine that's so fascinating is the body is still the last great frontier, so much of it that we don't understand. But it's been amazing, the progress.
I wouldn't know either myself unless I had those symptoms.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have been who knows where right now.
It's amazing how we compensate for things or you make, you know, for me, again, when I was sick for a year and a half, And I'm thinking, oh, that's because I'm doing comedy. You know what I'm – or I'm working I, – yeah. I literally at one point I was like, I think I'm working out too much. That's why I'm tired all the time. Right. That yeah, thought goes through your head.
Yes.
You start rationalizing
these
things. It, that wasn't so it. Interesting. I was not working out too hard.
Wow. But mine with the tiredness before from work and everything was different. And the exhaustion that I faced –
You just knew something
months,
was wrong?
It was something different.
Yeah.
I thought it was Lyme. I thought, you know, different things. And everything was coming negative. So it was just – the symptoms that I faced Saturday that gave us the hinge to go to the hospital and see this.
That's why people who think that symptoms are a bad thing, they're actually the biggest blessing in disguise, because without symptoms you wouldn't be able to know that
you don't
anything
pay attention.
Right.
And you like if you do, because sometimes you don't.
Right.
You say, okay, it's going to go away.
Especially you, because you're such a caregiver. You're always taking care of everybody else. You don't think, like, okay,
no,
is there anything?
But you go, and you do things, and you don't realize that something is going on.
That's right.
You know, serious there.
Right.
Thank you, Phil Svitek, for fixing the mic.
And you found a good doctor, someone you're confident in?
Yes, that's actually good. Very confident. Yes, he's very, very good.
He's the best in the entire world.
That's good.
And,
that's
and we're sitting next to our new doctor.
Right.
Rita.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got a new doctor
Heisman.
For you. Yeah.
I got a prescription for laughs.
We need that.
Oh, absolutely. Laughter.
Did you make that joke on stage?
Medicine.
When you?
Oh, God. So I do. I stand up comedy. I'll do lots of corporate events and go talk to.
Okay.
Physicians groups and people with arthritis, and inevitably, you're like, oh, laughter's the best medicine. Actually, Vicodin works better. Hey, pow, pow, pow.
And I'm a doctor.
All, yeah, all the cheesy jokes. It's awful.
Do you still do? You obviously still
yeah,
do
still
it all the time,
up.
As
yeah.
much as you can. You have a passion for it. You just
love it. I love performing. I love having a crowd. I don't know. I'm around similar people, I think.
Right.
You love when the lights come on and you have an audience and you try to make people laugh. I mean, ultimately, for me, the greatest joy is making people laugh. Like being in a room and hearing them laugh and going, oh, if you like that, you're going to love this next joke. And just seeing people, like you do shows for the troops. You go overseas and there are people, you know, in war zones, but for 45 minutes, they forget and they're just laughing.
Right.
And it's great.
Are you finding you're more recognized now, like Jeff Probst and other people?
No,
and,
you know what's interesting is with Ninja Warrior.
Phil, it's fine. She's fine. Lisa, sit down. Will you please? My God, Phil, go away. Don't talk. I love you, Phil, but I know it's
Phil's trying to steal you.
It's Karen and these guys. It's Maria. They're trying to put you to bed, Lisa. She's having a good time. Please.
We're partying late night on Thursdays here, Lisa.
Please.
We're getting crazy.
Excuse me, Dr. Eisenman, continue.
Yeah.
I was going to say, are you getting more recognized like Jeff Probst and those other
guys?
Well,
with Ninja, you know, they clearly don't use my face enough.
No. Wait a second. As I was driving over the hill today, Lisa, I was driving over the hill and I noticed a lot of ad for American Ninja Warrior, but you guys aren't
featured.
They
use the ninja bodies. Those
it's
healthy
your voice.
People on 27 pack. Yeah.
We hear your voice.
That's it.
Constantly.
Yeah. So
I'll that just gets me really angry, but whatever.
It's
such a not smart business.
Yeah. It's interesting. Obviously, you know, for a selfish career point of view, you wouldn't mind being on it more, being more identified with it. But I also look at, in a way though, I'm not inextricably linked to the show. So if another show comes around that maybe is in a different area, people would be like, okay, we can see you as the host of this. I don't know.
That's positive thinking, though.
Well,
that's why you'll continue.
Yeah.
But are you getting recognized a lot?
A fair amount. I mean, again, I think if I'm with Akbar, I get recognized more. Part of it, I think people don't know I'm tall, too. I think they because I'm, you know, Akbar's 6'6", so I don't look as big. And so
damn.
I was surprised. You are very tall.
They don't see. So I'm not recognized as much as I think I should be. Like, do you guys know I'm famous?
I have to say, some of my best interviews at AfterBuzz are in the most watched ones are with you, Akbar, and Christine.
Oh, really?
And, they absolutely are. That you
there
guys,
you,
what,
you
the
guys,
red carpets?
Yeah, our AfterBuzz interviews, they're the number one.
Okay, so
highest
so
ones.
Are you locked under contract? Can you do other things?
Here's the best part. I'm not. I have virtually no exclusivity. That's the one advantage of having started out with a cable contract. The pay took a little while, but the exclusivity, I can do any other network. I just can't do another Ninja Warrior show. But I did. I shot the most recent season of Celebrity Apprentice, which is coming out in January.
Oh, fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be
great.
That was a huge hit
for you. That was a nice a nice bone that NBC threw me.
That's a great bone.
And that's still with Trump or that's with Arnold?
Arnold.
Oh, my gosh. So how was he?
Oh, my gosh.
He was amazing.
Jeez.
I mean, but I'm by it. Like, Rocky and Predator,
Terminator.
Commando. Terminator. So to sit there, like, my bedroom where I grew up is unchanged. Like, it's still my parents' house. And it's the Predator posters right there. And to be sitting in there with the guy, like, to, you know, get to, at some point, like, talk to him about the movies. And then he's actually a fascinating guy. I read his autobiography getting ready for it. And he was a millionaire before he made his first movie from real estate.
Did you hear that, though? Wait, back up. You read his autobiography beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just a different breed. It's just...
You know, that's what I'm saying. It's just saying these are the things you do to be successful.
Oh, well,
but other people don't.
I knew going into it, for me, going on that show, you're either trying to resuscitate a career or launch it. And I was clearly in the launching, you know, much more. For me, I'm going in there, you know, Boy George, Vince Neil, Snooki, Ricky Williams, Eric Dickerson, Carney Wilson, Kyle Richards, Portia Williams, Layla Ali, Lisa Leslie. They were all far better known. So, yeah, I'm going in saying, for me, this is a huge opportunity.
That's where you want to be. You want to marry up.
Totally. Right.
Otherwise.
Totally.
Smart.
Yeah. So what can we expect from him, though?
Everyone asks, I don't know the catchphrase. We don't know. And I think what happened is he said a couple different ones. And I think what happened was I think they didn't want us to know. So I think they would shoot firings and then I think they shot the catchphrase separately, so it's going to be a reveal for everybody.
Wow. You'll come back. We come back during Apprentice.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'd love to have you in.
Yeah.
And of course, you're our physician now, the official Tomorrow
right.
Show.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Fake doctor.
But real doctor.
We're going to get a medical badge. Right.
I think, yeah, right. I think yeah. I.
The medical guys
I think,
usually last on the
I
show.
Think you need to produce stuff, and I think in your future, and I also think you should get with Akbar and is it Christine?
Yeah, Christine mm-hmm. Leahy. Yeah.
But at the very least, just Akbar, and I think you guys need to do other stuff together.
Yeah.
If you're getting that response and you're freed up, that's just a little bit from the Hollywood career coach. Lisa, what do you think? You think this guy's going to stick around or what, career-wise? Yeah?
Are you kidding?
She always knows. She does. She always knows. I go to Lisa all the time.
She's super psychic.
When I get nervous, I go, Lisa. She goes, no, Kevin, it'll be fine. Okay. And she's never been wrong.
That's good. Yeah. That's
so good you're good. So you're good.
Good to have an oracle.
We're good. Show soon.
Thank you.
Many years.
Thank you. I really appreciate hearing that.
So interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing, right, Lisa?
Doesn't let you sit down and always like this, waiting what's going to happen.
That's right. We're good. I think we got a 5 or 10 year run in us, at least.
It's the same thing.
It's a real show. That's what I said to Maria just now. I says, it's not a show that you can say, oh, okay, yeah, it's another thing. This is a real show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Does it make you cry ever, Lita? Because it makes me cry sometimes with the stories.
I feel for the guys that they try so hard and they fall.
Some of the stories, we were talking with Kansas City. We had this guy, this autistic guy, Stephen Mowell, who 21 years old. Since he was 13, he discovered the show. He'd been training, and he's 21, so this is the first time he could come out and compete.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, they were like, he wasn't the best athlete. And they said, are you worried about falling or, you know, looking – you know, embarrassing yourself. And he said, I can't fail because just by getting on the course, I'll have won. And he gets on the course, he gets through an obstacle. He got through one and then went out on the second one. And like the entire crowd gives this, I'm cheering. The entire crowd gives him a standing ovation and the smile on his face was unbelievable. But his parents like to get to see their son have this, you know, moment in front of thousands of people and be so happy. It was just like, it's really cool to get to see like people say only two people have won, and you're like, no, you're missing it. People win in so many different ways on the show just by getting on the course. Mm-hmm. They don't have to hit the buzzer.
Just being there.
Yeah, just by like proving to themselves they lost the weight or they battled back from.
Play We Are the Champions, Lauren.
God, right?
Yes. Don't bring it up.
As a side note,
all
though.
Of them to win, but.
When you just said 21, so that's the age limit? You don't
that's
take people who are 18?
So with Team Ninja Warrior, for the first time ever, we had people under 21. And I don't know why they chose 21, if it's just because of if it was just like game show law because the $1 million.
If initially maybe insurance was, purposes?
Yeah,
or
I may.
Huh.
This is a great song.
It's
Freddie
amazing,
Mercury.
Right? So underrated. Another guy in his time, so voice. Underrated. Lita, you know this song, right? You remember the singer? This is Freddie Mercury.
Yes.
Is he Greek? Freddie Mercury?
He looked Greek.
I think he's Indian, actually.
Ooh. Is he?
Mm-hmm. One of the greatest voices in the history of rock and roll, and was kind of laughed at in his day. It's just sad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's this wonderful world we live in. We're going to go out on this song. Matt, where do we find you? At Matt Iceman, right?
That's it. Yeah, everywhere.
MattIceman.com.
Yep.
American Ninja Warrior, we're going to keep watching you on, and we're going to be looking forward to so many other things. Producing-wise, that's what I'm prescribing for you.
I like it.
Celeb Apprentice, you're going to come back and talk to us.
Sure.
And also, you are going to be the official Tomorrow Show fake medical correspondent. Yes. Isn't that exciting, Litsa?
Yeah.
So all our, it's going to be real.
I love her. Aww. Who's better than Litsa?
No one.
No, for all your fake medical advice, you're going to be able to come to us now, Matt.
Absolutely.
You're a good man.
Thank you.
And you deserve everything. Litsa, we love you.
We love you so much, Litsa.
We love you, Litsa.
And we love you.
All Tomorrow Show love going your way.
Thank you.
I also need to clarify about Freddie Mercury. He's Persian, just so we all know.
Okay.
Or, as I say, Persian.
Persian.
Yes.
And Kevin, I feel like there's a consensus in the booth that we need to give Litsa a WWE salute.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay,
let's all give a Tomorrow Show warm WWE salute to Litsa.
Litsa Menounos. Litsa Menounos. Litsa Menounos.
I came through. Listen to this song, Litsa.
Thank you, guys. Thank
this you. Is for you, Litsa. And you too, Matt.
Pleasure meeting you in person.
You guys.
So likewise.
Oh, aww. Nice hug. Nice moment.
Oh, mic down.
You Mike guys. Down. We can deal with the mic down. We're good. We're you guys. Good. Okay, we hope you have a very, you had a nice Labor Day, or you're having a nice Labor Day. We'll be back Thursday. We'll be drinking again. Litsa, love you, honey. Thank you. Matt, you're the man.
We love you.
I'm so excited. See Roxy?
Of the world.
You guys, please, 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 if you can't, even after sitting with Matt Iceman and Litsa Menounos, please. I don't know how else to inspire you, but please, please, please do your best to make it a better tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.